Welcome to today's stock market update. It's Tuesday, April 26th. There's a lot to talk about. Dow rallies 238 points after its worst trading day since 2020. We also have the S&P and the NASDAQ snapping three-day losing streaks. Crude oil drops more than 3% and is back below $100 a barrel. And Musk buys Twitter. All eyes on tech and much, much more. Today is Tuesday, and if this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. And on a typical morning, Rockwell Trading's founder Marcus is with me, and with watchful eyes and almost 50 years of trading experience, we sift through a mountain of news websites, newsletters, and reports, and then we take the most important news and go live right here to share with you what you need to know as you approach the trading day. Now, for those of you that watch every day, thank you for joining me. We appreciate the channel follows and the clicks, the likes. But if this is your first time here, I know it can be overwhelming at times. So don't worry. We have a special video just for you that we'll link in the description. And it's a great place to get started. So the S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ. Let's get to the charts here. We are still below the 50-day moving averages. Here we have the S&P, but yesterday we saw a nice reversal day. The S&P opening lower, and we could go to a five-minute chart. Here we see the S&P opening lower, drifting even lower in the morning, and then right around lunchtime, we started to see a little bit of a push higher and a nice little rally in the afternoon. S&P finishing 0.6% higher, so nice reversal day for the S&P. The Dow finishing 0.7% higher, same situation here, opening lower, drifting even lower, and then a nice afternoon rally to finish the day positive, adding 238 points, snapping that losing streak. The NASDAQ actually making a move 2.25% off of its session lows here. So it finished the day up 1.3%, but a real nice reversal considering these lows. So a pretty decent day of trading if you're looking for some positivity and not just a sell-off continuing. The volatility still remains, but a nice update for the markets. We'll take a look at futures and what's in store for us as we approach the U.S. Open here. But let's talk about what's moving the markets right now. And we know that there's the concerns over inflation and just how aggressive the Fed will raise rates. So traders are watching and reacting to the yield curve. We could go to the U.S. 10-year yield, and we see that after just a really sharp rally all throughout March and April, we've pulled back just a little bit. So yesterday, a pullback helping out. Yields down a little bit. The 10-year yield's down a little bit today too, 2.5%, which is interesting because futures are pointing to a negative start. But you know, this is a concern. This is something that traders are definitely watching. But you could say that right now for this week, earnings are in the spotlight. It's a huge earnings week. More than a third of the S&P 500 will be reporting. You also have big tech names. And the real focus today is going to be on Alphabet and Microsoft. And if we look at Alphabet here, Alphabet having a nice day yesterday, up 3%. Not immune to the market moves that we've seen recently and making lows that we haven't seen since, gosh, going back to maybe June of 2021. But with earnings, Microsoft just historically beats earnings and is an earnings winner. It looks like the last time we had an earnings miss was back in April of 2020, which really is factoring in the first quarter of the pandemic. Trying to react to, you know, figuring out what the heck to do with the pandemic situation. That was the last time Alphabet had an earnings miss. So this is being watched today. They report after the bell. That's definitely going to be something that could move the market. There's going to be a lot of eyes on the markets, not just when the markets close, but after the markets close to see what the futures are doing and what trading is looking like after the bell in after hours trading for Google or Alphabet. We also have Microsoft, and Microsoft historically is another big earnings winner. Here we could go back on this chart, and we can see that with quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter. Gosh, how far do we have to go back here? I need to scroll this way. Look at all those green. Oh, there we go. The last time there was an earnings miss was April of 2016. So, and I mean, gosh, look at the charts telling that story as well. Just a nice move higher for the last 4 years on earnings beat, earnings beat, earnings beat after earnings beat. So this will be interesting. Microsoft reporting earnings after the bell. So these, you know, two companies, big companies, definitely in the spotlight today, specifically as we approach the close and they're reporting after the bell. So earnings definitely in the spotlight. But gosh, how could we not talk about Twitter as well? So Twitter, the news came yesterday that Twitter's board had agreed to the $44 billion buyout offer from Elon Musk. This equates to $54.20 a share. Let me get over here, zoom in just a little bit. So $54.20 a share is the offer that was agreed to. And I saw some commentary from Dan Raju, which is the CEO of Tradier. They're a partner of ours. We offer Tradier through the PowerX Optimizer software. Really a great, nice guy. Met him. I got to hang out with him in Florida at our last mastermind event. I saw that he had some comments about what Twitter shareholders should keep in mind. And he was saying that if the deal is done, it doesn't mean you can't continue to buy and sell the stock. However, he strongly believes that the share price will be likely to become volatile between the time of the deal announcement and the official delisting of the stock. So that's what's going to happen as Twitter goes private. Raju said that it would be weeks rather than days before it's actually delisted on the NYSE, and it's hard to guess how long the regulatory process will take. And that's also why it's not just trading at $54 a share right now. In my early years of trading, I would look at a buyout opportunity like this and think, hey, if the buyout deal's at 54 and the stock's trading at 52, this is just free money. And it could be that you get a nice extra $2 on this deal, but there's always some risk involved. And then also you don't know exactly how long the whole regulatory process will take, right? Twitter could be a whole nother situation, but the reason why it's not trading right just at the offer is because there's some risk. There's some risk that something might fall through, or maybe there will be a regulatory challenge. Also the time involved for that to actually go through. If it looks like there's less risk and the deal's going through soon, you'll see that the stock just kind of flatlines and it's just trading at a specific price. So we'll see what happens with Twitter over the next couple of days and the next couple of weeks. But so far, it seems like traders are liking it. And we even had a nice endorsement from Jack Dorsey, the former CEO of Twitter and co-founder. He said that Elon is the singular solution I trust. I trust his mission to extend the light of consciousness. How nice is that? He said, the idea and service is all that matters to me, and I will do whatever it takes to protect both. Twitter as a company has always been my sole issue and my biggest regret. It has been owned by Wall Street and the ad model. Taking it back from the street is the correct first step. So, hey, we'll see what how Twitter works out going private. And does Elon have the capacity to manage Tesla? Will it affect Tesla and his vision for Tesla and SpaceX and SolarCity? But he has a lot of pokers in the fire. I hope that it doesn't have an impact on some of his successful companies like Tesla. So hopefully that isn't too much of a distraction for him. Now, one of the big questions with the Twitter situation and buyout is, will Trump go back? Because that kind of was the whole idea with the free speech, is that there was some backlash from people who supported former President Trump and him getting banned from Twitter. And Trump told CNBC on Monday that he wouldn't return to Twitter, even if Musk reversed the former president's ban, saying that he'll be on his own service, Truth Social. And this one hasn't gone too well. DWAC is the SPAC behind it. Yesterday getting hit down 13%. Although it's up a little bit pre-market, there's some concerns that Truth Social might be having problems if Twitter does change its nature there. President Trump said that he'll be on the service within a week, although he's only posted one time on his own platform since February when it launched. Moving on. I want to talk about two tips for being able to make money with shares that you own. And for me, this is really step two, and it's part of the wheel, our favorite strategy here at Rockwell Trading. And that is selling calls, but understanding and knowing where to sell calls, when to sell calls, and also having a little cheat on how to know exactly how much the stock needs to move at times for that to take place. So I'm going to go back over to PowerX Optimizer here. And, oh, look at this. Nice little reminder that we are live today. And here, let me slide this over. So with PowerX Optimizer, I need to zoom out just a little bit. This looks a little bit better. So with PowerX Optimizer, we have a calculator built in that will allow us to figure out where we need or what type of credit we need on the calls in order to make our 30% annualized, which is what we're after when we're trading the wheel. So here I own shares of AMD, and I actually bought this at 104. I've been able to collect some premium on this one, so my break-even's lower. AMD's pulled back a little bit, but I'm going to see if I could sell calls at the 104 strike. And I can choose this week's expiration, April 29th or May 6th. Let's just keep this simple and say that we're just trading 100 shares, so we sell one call against it. Now, at a minimum, I'd like to sell the 104 strike. And with the 104 strike, that would be right at the stock purchase price. I see here that at a minimum, I need 34 cents. So this would be for this Friday. And 34 cents means $34 for every 100 shares. I could also go over here to May 6th, and I could see what this looks like. So if I go out a week, I need 94 cents. So that's kind of my line in the sand for the minimum that I need. Now, if I go over to an options chain here, keeping that in mind, here we have the options chain through Tradier. And first, I could look at this Friday. And I could go down to the 104 calls, which is here. And we see that at least yesterday, this is yesterday's prices since markets are closed, the last trade was 8 cents, right? So I'm not near my 30% that I'm looking to get. I wanted to get 29 cents. And what I could do is I could use Delta here. If you're new to using Delta in the Greeks, you could see what the expected increase in the option will be for every dollar move in the stock. And this is 0.038. So basically a 4 cent increase in the option for every dollar move in the stock. It's trading at 90.69, or that's where it closed. So to be honest, this week's expiration, the 104, is really a long shot. So let's see what we could get next week. And Marcus and I, we really like to focus on this week's expiration or next week's expiration, because then we could keep churning those options, just selling the, you know, collecting more premium rather than going too far out and having less flexibility. Here, if I go out to the 104 for next week, I see that there's $1.20 there. So $1.20, much better. I actually could get the 30% annualized that I'm looking for. This would bring my break even down more. $1.20, that's not bad at all. So this is something to consider. But I could also look at this and think, okay, the delta is 0.8185, so that's 19 cents, right? So with every dollar move in the stock, and this delta is really a snapshot in time, because as you get closer to the money, the delta is going to be changing. But this to me is my favorite tool just for having a glance. Like if I'm looking at a chart and I think, okay, this stock might be able to move $4 higher. Well, if it moves $4 higher, how does that impact the option? And in this case, it looks like the delta, based on the delta, we should move up from $120 to $2. It's approximate. But rather than blindly just guessing how much you need the stock to move for the option to move, this is just a great cheat, if you're not familiar with delta, for having an estimated guess that is more valid. And delta is my friend. So that's my two tips for finding calls and figuring out calls using the PowerX Optimizer calculator, and also using delta as a gauge. Futures are pointing to a negative start, so we'll see if this changes. Once markets open, we are down about 0.6% across the board. I need to get over to our Mastermind check-in call. So for you Mastermind members, I know this took a little bit longer than I expected. My apologies. Marcus is with his daughter, and he is doing a trip back east, so he's not able to join me today and tomorrow, but he will be back here with a stock market update on Thursday. If you like this video, please give it a like, and until tomorrow, happy trading.